This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Now, I'm happy to be back with you folks. I'd like to hear from some of you. Would you do that? Write me and let me know that you hear me. Just tell me what station you hear me over, and it always blesses my heart to get correspondence from you. Let me just give you my phone number, like some folks like to call me. It's 225-664-8658. So I'd be glad to hear from you. And then pray for me. Would you do that? Satan is a roaring lion going about, seeking those who he might intimidate. He sits here on my shoulder. One of his demons sits here in this little studio on my shoulder, telling me to calm down, Trailblazer. Calm down. Slow down now. Don't be so dogmatic. Listen, folks won't listen to all that. Don't be so hard. Don't be such a hellfire and damnation preacher. Folks don't want to hear that. They want to hear the love of God. Well, I do. I speak on the love of God often. But we're bringing you these studies now on demon possession. Oh, my friend, and we're looking at this study on baptism with the Holy Spirit in connection with these studies. Now, let's go back and pick up where we left off. In regeneration, the individual is made a new creature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. One of the things that I'd like to ask you, I have folks approach me that are wrapped up in this movement of speaking in tongues and all of those things. And I just ask them, are you a new creature? Has old things been made new in your heart and your life? Do you know the Lord? Well, they don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost and all of those things, speaking in tongues, all of those things. Or demon possession, my friend. I guarantee you. I stake my eternal destiny on. And I know I get folks call me and write me and accuse me of this and that and the other. But in regeneration, when that individual comes to know the Lord, and did you know that that's the greatest thing that ever happens to an individual? Here you are, I am an old sinner from the birth. We're a sinner from the womb, my friend. And we come on up into our teenage years and the manhood and walk around, whether you're don't matter what you do, you're walking around, you're a sinner. You're a sinner from birth. And maybe you joined the church when you were 7 years old. I don't mean a thing in this world. But here you are walking around. But when the Lord gets a hold to you, when the Lord sends the Holy Spirit there to deal with your heart and save you, then you become a new creature. Born again becomes a new creature. When the Holy Spirit has made that individual a new creature in Christ by delivering him from the power of darkness, translating him into the kingdom of the Son of God, then the Holy Spirit baptizes that believer in Christ and makes Christ and the believer one. As Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Then Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. Do you know that's the way you get to Christ? You don't get to Christ by being baptized in water. You don't get to Christ by eating the Lord's Supper. You don't get to Christ by those things. No. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, in which the individual has been baptized into Christ, is a separate and distinct from regeneration. Thereby, the believer becomes the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, according to Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. When the Holy Spirit, after regeneration, or making the sinner a new creature in Christ, baptizes that individual into Christ, he also baptizes him into the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. This accounts for Christ being real to the born-again believer. This accounts for the ever-presence of Christ. This accounts for the born-again believer constantly in his heart, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord for his salvation. Why? Because we are in Christ, baptized into Christ. This accounts for the believer loving one another, fellowshipping one another in Christ. That's why believers love each other. They are baptized into the same body by the same Spirit. Now, my friend, that's where the love of God is imparted into our heart. Let me call your attention to this fact. We face today the average church member, Christ is not real. The average church member, preacher today, does not know Christ experimentally. Bible baptism, that is, baptism with the Holy Ghost, is a lost doctrine to our churches. Satan has stepped in as a result and giving multitudes an imitation of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is only baptism with a satanic power. You meet one of those fellows and ask them, they say, "Yes, sir, I'm baptized and sanctified and speaking in tongues." Oh, my friend, we'll show you in our next study. Now, why isn't Christ real to the average person? Why isn't Christ real into your heart today? It's because you've never been born again. Oh, you say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is a reality." All right, all of that is of Satan. Now, listen, let me just give you a little excerpt from my memory that I read there about the back in the formation days of those that type of ministry. One of the things that this writer wrote about, Mr. Ironside, during that movement, the inception of that movement there in California, Azusa Street, they never called Christ Lord. They only spoke of him as Jesus. And did you know that's still the way it is today? Oh, you say Jesus is a reality. Now, listen. You're never made a new creature in Christ until you're born again. If you've been made a new creature in Christ, you would have been baptized into Christ, and Christ has become real to you. Now, with your Bibles in hand, once again, get your Bible, Acts chapter, and let's see what happened on the day of Pentecost. Listen, I may say here, there's no significance in the word Pentecost. You know what the word Pentecost means? How many of you know what that means? It simply means 50 days after the resurrection. It had been 50 days since our Lord had arisen from the grave. Now, it is an Old Testament word, literally means 50, after the Feast of the Passover. The Feast of Pentecost was the Feast of the First Fruits. It was the day that the Jews brought the wave offering before the priest. The wave offering was the first fruit of their harvest, and it typified coming of the Holy Spirit. Just as Christ arose on the first day of the week, or the eighth day, so the Feast of Pentecost fell on the first day of the week, or the eighth day, or the day after Sabbath. The number 8 stands for the beginning of new things. Christ arose on the eighth day from the dead. The Holy Spirit came on the eighth day, the beginning of the day of grace. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had definitely told his disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. That's Luke 24:49. And he said also, in Acts 1:5, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Then in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me." The Lord Jesus had commissioned his disciples to go into all the world to preach his word, or preach the gospel. But he commanded them to wait until two things happened. First, they were to wait until they were baptized into Christ. Second, they were to wait until they received power from on high. That word baptized is baptizio. The word power is dunamis. Both of these things happened on the day of Pentecost to these disciples. These disciples had been saved, born again, but they had not been made one with Christ. They were orphans. Christ said, "I won't leave you orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." They were left after without a leader and left without the presence of Christ. All as a result of this, they stood in fear of the Jews. When the Holy Spirit came that Sunday morning, the eighth day, or the first day of the week, he baptized that group of 120 into Christ, because the Scripture says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them." This baptism made them one in Christ. Christ became real, a living personality to each one of them. Then he baptized them into one body, and they became one in Christ. The second thing that happened on that day to that group was they received power because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4 we read, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And I would call your attention to the wording of that fourth verse. It does not say that they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. It says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now it does say that the third verse, that tongues of fire, rested rested on each one of them. When the Holy Spirit baptized them into Christ, making them one with Christ, then filled them. Plerio, that word plerio. In other words, he took possession of their lives and filled them. In other words, listen, there's no place in God's Word where God ever commanded an individual to seek the Holy Spirit. No such a thing. I challenge you to show it to me. I challenge you to find it. Call me, let me know. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit and the baptizing of the Holy Spirit are two distinct different things, two different works in the heart. Now, listen, the result of the baptism with the Holy Spirit makes Christ and the believer one, and it makes Christ real to that individual. The Holy Spirit filling the believer gives him boldness and power to witness for Christ. When God saves an individual, listen, when God saves an individual, the Holy Spirit takes up his abode in that believer's life. Now, this is true, my friend, according to God's Word. You get this great truth. Lay down everything. Listen, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? We'll have to leave it off right there. But Paul, writing to the Romans, said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. The Holy Spirit come in to dwell, take up his abode in the heart of the believer, and never leaves the believer until he gets home. My folks, I know these are controversial things. I know many folks won't have it. But my friend, this is God's Word I'm giving you. Don't go off on a tangent. Would you ask the Lord to just show you the truth as it goes by, day by day? Oh, listen. Listen, let me tell you something. There's no place in God's Word where God ever commanded an individual to seek the Holy Spirit. I've met dozens and dozens of folks who were seeking the Holy Spirit. And the evidence was that they spoke in tongues. Now, my friend, we're going to bring you some thoughts on that in the next day or so. And I would that you would follow us with your Bible. Follow us along with your Bible. We're not going to go off on a tangent nowhere. No, and I know that there's folks who are steeped in those things that you couldn't show them anything. Their eyes are blinded by Satan. But my friend, maybe one here and one there. Did you know if one individual is brought out of that situation and brought to know the Lord, it'll be worth all that we put in it here? The old trailblazer is not a smart person. No, I go back and I glean from other pastors and commentators and get these words for you. Not much that I know about these things, because I'm not very smart. But I tell you what, I bring you what the Lord says. It's all scripture and verse. So if you would, remember the old trailblazers, pray for them if you would. If you're interested in getting out the gospel, help us with this broadcast. We could go on a new station here and there and yonder if folks would just tell me they're going to support us. And it's a work of love and of faith. But my friend, the Lord knows all about it. Would you remember to pray for the old trailblazer? And then remember my address. It's the old trailblazer, post office box, 1810 Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org.